Dear Shooter, Texas Democrats have copied Illinois Democrats and fled the state to avoid casting their votes. And a Minnesota man is still missing in the Cloud Peak Wilderness area. Both of these cases speak to one of our favorite topics. Be prepared.
But they did state that when these guns are put together with different pieces or whatever, it's like an organ transplant.
Yeah, I got an F in shooting once.
It's a perishable skill.
Quitting?
Yes. My favorite death threat I ever got, the guy left his email address on.
He's just going to make it rain in Spanish, that's all.
Here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents. Wow, you just made that
clip
weird.
On, it's not a strap on.
2 weeks for all that, that isn't training, that's camp.
You couldn't read a brochure on all that shit in that time.
Prepare to enter the space where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and offensive conversation is encouraged. Welcome to the Deer Shooter Podcast and your hosts, Jason Wilson, Brandy, and Jason Croteau.
Boy, where do we start? I've been watching this thing going on with the Texas Democrats, and it is kind of deja vu, not only for Texas, but I remember when the Illinois Democrats pulled this crap.
Well, I do too, but in Illinois, there really wasn't much consequences to it.
No.
Texas is a bona fide fuck around and find out state.
It is. I was waiting to hear that these guys also stole a school bus to cross state lines.
Oh, no. I forgot they did that.
I remember watching all that in real time, and like they had all the news helicopters, and they were following the school bus as it was going across into.
Oh,
I can't. I think they went into Iowa to go hide.
So, did these guys have like a landing spot, someplace that would give them shelter?
So, actually, in Illinois, the Texas Democrats fled to Illinois.
Oh, that's a long way,
right?
Huh?
Getting out of Texas is a long way.
Well, I think they. I believe they commandeered a plane.
Interesting. What if taxpayers paid for that?
Probably.
That's retarded.
But it's all over. So they're breaking quorum so that they can't hold a vote on redistricting. And the whole thing about this is because since the last census, 2 years ago, Texas has to redistrict because they added seats.
Right.
So they've got to do all this, redraw the district lines and this and that and the other. And the Democrats don't want to do it because they know the way it has to be drawn because of population centers, the Democrats are going to end up getting shellacked in the next election.
But, all right, so it's over redistricting and they're going to lose voter share or whatever we call it these days. But you're still applying the logic that if I stick my head in the sand, that problem will go away.
Right.
By not being at your job doesn't necessarily mean that vote's going to go away. It'll wait for you to come home.
Texas is getting about fed up with their shenanigans.
How long has this gone on? I mean, what kind of a problem are we talking about here?
This has gone on for about 2 weeks now.
What else could they have accomplished if they had not just... had a vote, went, all right, this sucks, let's move on.
Oh, nothing. Now, as of today, Governor Greg Abbott and the Attorney General, Ken Paxton, have asked all the Republican Texas Supreme Court to expel House Democrats.
Yikes. All right, so that means censorship for... a politician. I mean, you no longer are relevant.
Well, no, they want to expel them from the legislature.
It's like being fired.
Yeah, take your ball and go home. You don't get to play anymore because obviously you're not going to play by the rules.
If you're not going to come to work, I suppose that's probably fair. But
yeah, I mean, well, it it's a job.
I'm kind of in awe that they have a mechanism that they can just get rid of politicians that easy.
Well, it is Texas.
This is true.
I mean,
this is true.
They now, Jim Dunham, who is the Texas Speaker of the House, he is going to Illinois courts to get them to extradite the missing members.
Extradite.
Good luck with that.
They have to be charged with something that is extradition worthy.
Yeah. It's kind of a failure to, the way I understand it is they're using, it's like a failure to appear arrest warrant.
So the dog, the bounty hunter, is going to go track him down?
That's kind of what it's looking like right now. I mean, this is just, it's fun to watch.
Bad ass. Yeah, I'm kind of excited now.
And it's funny, if you look it up, so I if you want to really see, like, how ridiculous this all is, I got to figure out which city they're in, but if you look at the district, the voting district that they're in Illinois, it is this chopped up mess that they've done through 30 years of Democrat gerrymandering.
So they just ran to their new home to see how it was going to work?
I think that's exactly what they did.
Yikes. All right. Not well thought out, boys.
No. I mean, they're looking at, you know, failure to appear, dereliction of duty, and, you know, if they don't quit screwing around, likely expulsion from the legislature.
Wow. This is, like, surreal. This is how it should work.
I agree, but at the same time, well, and we've talked about this before, right? You know, politicians are supposed to be, you know, responsible adults and high-ranking members of the community. And this, no, they're toddlers.
Okay, so talk to me about quorum real quick. If it's an all-Republican Congress, their state Congress.
It's not.
No, just bear with me, because if they all get expelled, it will be.
Right.
There's a number there that they're going to have to put pro tems in place.
Yep.
To make that work.
And guess who gets to appoint them?
The Republicans.
The Republican governor.
The governor gets to appoint them.
I believe that's the way Texas works. Correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah.
Okay. So it could be an all Republican congressional session.
Not that right now it doesn't really matter in Texas anyway, because Republicans control all chambers of Texas government.
So all the thing they had to control was quorum, whether
that's
you
it.
Could
that's
have a
it.
Meeting or not.
That's it. That's all they had.
There's
that's,
gotta
that's
be
why they left, because if they had more control they would have never left.
Yeah, there's gotta be something in the bylaws about emergency session.
I there might be, but I don't know if redistricting rises to that level.
Oh, fair enough. But if that's all they ran from, that's pretty damn petty.
Well, it goes to the character. And I mean, we're watching in real time. I mean, let's take this to national politics. You know, Adam Schiff right now is under some serious indictments, almost rising to the level of, I've heard it, you know, likened to, this is bordering on treason. Some of the things that he did.
If they can prove reasonable doubt, he's in trouble.
Yeah. Well, I think he's in trouble anyway. And the more I start, the more I've dug into this, I'm seeing Eric Swalwell is in the middle of this. Elizabeth Warren, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, they're neck deep in it.
This will be a domino effect.
It will. And Hillary warned us about this in what, 2012?
Well, she 2008? Yelled it out loud.
Yeah.
If she went down, she was taking everybody with her.
She said she was taking half of Washington with her. And I remember when she said that, my first thought was, where do we start?
Oh, good night. You know, we've asked for this for years, and the wheels of politics move really, really slow, and we're starting to see it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great time to live in, because it gives you hope for the actual system.
Well, it does, depending on the results. You know, we've seen this before. We've seen these indictments. We've seen these investigations, and they end up going nowhere. Nobody gets punished. Nothing happens.
Follow the money.
Oh, yeah. The problem is you now have a president that can't be bought.
That's why they're scared of him.
Yeah.
One, he's a businessman. He's going to hold you accountable for your job. And two, you can't bribe a guy.
No. And I thought one of the most brilliant things that he did when he appointed his cabinet and he appointed his agency directors, is he looked for people that had been directly mishandled or, you know, directly harmed by that agency.
That's a pretty good place to start. If you've got an axe to grind,
mm-hmm.
you're building your war chest pretty deep.
Mm-hmm.
That's smart.
I thought it was brilliant.
And it's totally within the presidential power.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I thought that was one of the most brilliant things that he did. I mean,
well, we've always said on time and time again that a good leader surrounds himself with very good people.
Well, yeah.
Because they do nothing but make him look better.
That's right. You know, I've always looked at that from a management perspective.
Uh-huh.
Surround yourself with people smarter than you. Mm-hmm. You know, because you can't be an expert at everything. So if you need an expert, find the best.
Correct. It actually makes the work much easier.
It does. It does. And I think I think a lot of this stuff, you know, it goes back to, and we've seen this since Trump was elected, the Democrat Party is eating itself alive.
They didn't have a choice. They went so far to the other side.
Well, but they keep doubling down.
They can't admit that they're wrong.
They don't think they are.
That's the point.
I mean,
They can't.
Okay, so... And I'm going to say this out loud. The most reasonable Democrat in federal office today. So, and I'm wrong. It's Pennsylvania. John Fetterman, actually, of all the Democrat senators that are in power right now, John Fetterman, the guy that we thought was just whacked, has turned out to be reasonable. I mean, he's a Clinton Democrat.
Yeah. Looking at him, it's like Herman Munster walking on stage. But
right.
When you hear him talk, he's not too far out there.
No. And he can be reasonable. And yes. he will negotiate.
Who else is on the list? I mean, there can't be too many people that are reasonable in Democratic.
There party. Isn't. There isn't. And sadly, like, there's so many damn Republicans that should be running as Democrats. They vote with them all the time.
Right.
Now, I think one that has surprised me over the years is Lindsey Graham.
Really?
Yeah. And especially, like, before the first Trump's presidency, Lindsey Graham, I mean, he, especially on immigration, he was on the wrong side of everything. And I don't know what happened during Trump's first term. But he's done a 180 and actually has turned into a decent representative.
Well, politicians are survivors.
Yeah.
And they see which way the wind's blowing, a good politician will change with it.
Well, a good one. I still don't trust him. But
they have to look like they're being effective.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, we haven't had an effective government in I don't know how long.
Because they run to Illinois.
So preparedness. Like, this is what we're supposed to be talking about, right? Something I heard today. If you have the ability, I would start investing in precious metals.
Interesting.
And
I have for a long time.
But... No, I have too. But the reason I say that is economic data came out. And the Federal Reserve has our national debt at $37.2 trillion. Now, here's the problem with government accounting. Okay, they don't take into account the pensions, Social Security, Medicare payments that have to be made. They take those out. They don't have to report those. So, when you take that data and you add it, our national debt is over $300
trillion. $300
trillion. With a T. That is an unfathomable amount of money.
The government's too big, and we spend way too much.
We do. And you know,
Well, that's not a big deal. Who's the girl that says that's a lot of zeros that and zeros have
AOC.
No value?
That would be AOC.
But on the other side of it, we need to start figuring out how to earn again as a country.
Well, and we are. They said that we set a record in the first half of this year on tariff collection.
All right. So we're going to say this out loud. tariff collection. And we all talk about it as if it's some economic force that's a magical, mythical thing. It's not. Those folks who are bringing stuff in to the country pay those tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
Those folks are U.S. corporations and U.S. citizens.
Right.
They're paying this extra tax because their supply chain is moved offshore.
Yep.
They can't get it done here, so they pay a tariff.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or they can't get it done here for a profit margin because consumers won't pay for it.
That's right.
So the spoiled consumer that wants all their little itty-bitty goods is forcing the companies to pay a tariff. What's going to happen to prices?
They all go up. They all go up.
And we're starting to see it. You're starting to see things 15, 20% crease up, right? And that's because they're working through back stock that's pre-tariff.
Mm-hmm. And you're exactly right. And we had CPI data come out this morning. And basically inflation is unchanged down a little, which is good because what it does is it's able to put more pressure on the Fed to lower interest rates, but it's going to catch up to us sooner or later.
It has to, because as a guy who does bring stuff in from offshore, right, that's a tax.
Mm-hmm.
And it eats directly into my bottom line.
Well, and people don't understand. Corporations, companies, they don't pay the taxes. They pass along the cost.
And so I don't look at a tariff as something we're earning. I don't see it as a benefit to the economic stimulus system because you're putting a burden on the people of the country.
Agreed.
China's not paying those tariffs.
No.
The guy who's buying from Chinaman is paying those tariffs.
That's right. And I get, I don't think it's going... I would approach it probably a different way. I get what Trump is trying to do. This whole tariff war crap that we've been dealing with for the last 6-8 months, it's all about getting us to free trade. That's the goal.
And I'm all for free trade.
And I am too.
But you got to look at the volume of what we trade.
Yep.
We can't buy $10,000 of stuff from Chinaman.
No.
And sell him $100 worth of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the equation right now.
Yep.
The other consuming nations in the world are simply not buying like we do.
No.
Not even close.
No, and they won't because we are a consumer-based market.
Correct. So all of Europe, all of Asia combined doesn't add up to the consumption of Texas.
That's right. And going back to our national debt, the value of the dollar has dropped 20% this year.
The danger side of that is other countries in the world are going to be making a play for being the standard of commerce internationally.
That's right.
And if we lose that from a dollar's perspective, we're in trouble.
And that's being bandied about. They are talking about changing to something else other than the dollar for the world reserve currency. That would be a bad thing.
It'd be devastating. That's the kind of thing that has wars strike out everywhere.
Yes. Yes. So, hey, Democrats, go back to work.
Please.
Suck it up. You lost. We've been sucking it up and dealing with your crap for the last 40 years. It's our turn.
Redistricting, really?
Yeah.
Get off your high horse a little bit and go back to work.
Yeah, they're not going to because they know if they redistrict, they know we'll get reelected.
Okay. That's how the system works.
That's exactly how the system works. So let's come back and talk about something, well, I don't know if necessarily more fun, but more relevant.
Beans, bullets, Band-Aids, and booze. While everyone forgets about the last one, 10th Mountain has you covered. With a range of whiskey, vodka, and cordials, you're sure to find just the right spirit for your next adventure. Just remember to flip up your nods before you take a sip. Now shipping orders to nearly every US state so you can get in on the awesomeness. Enter Deer Shooter at checkout for 15% off your order. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company. Whiskey worth fighting for.
Are you fed up with paying premium prices for mediocre performance? It might be time to up your game with Lucid Optics. Lucid Optics delivers world record-setting performance without breaking the bank. From long-range precision, hunting application, and the first-ever reflex optic in blue, your mission won't be compromised. Lucid Optics are built tough as nails for the most demanding situations, using ED shot glass to ensure your view is crystal clear and backing it up with a lifetime warranty. To learn more, ask your dealer or go to lucidoptics.com. Lucid Optics. On target. Under budget.
All right, so this kind of sucks from our perspective. All of us here were very avid outdoors people. And so when Brandy brought me this story about a week or so ago, there's a Minnesota man, Grant Gardner, who went missing in the Cloud Peak Wilderness, and he's been missing since July 29th.
Okay, so what do we know about Grant?
So apparently he's pretty avid hiker, has been doing this for years, and even his wife says that she's still holding out hope because he has the skills to survive out there. And honestly, I mean, summertime where we are now, if you know what you're doing, the forest is quite abundant. And survival's not horrible. It's going to suck, but it's doable.
It depends on what you get into. I mean, exposure is not necessarily his issue this time of year.
I don't think so, and I think he was equipped.
Okay.
Unless there's exposure to bears.
Well, predation is it's a thing. But that's part of being out there with them. You are not the top of the food chain. And
nope.
Any guy that's been there at least one trip knows this. So I'm not thinking that maybe he got it, but we're talking Cloud Peak, right?
Yep.
This is some rugged country. And he did check in, from what I understand, from the top of the mountain, yeah?
He did. And that, and from what I understand, that is the last anybody heard from him.
All right, so the descent is always the most treacherous of anything.
Always,
you do.
Always the most dangerous.
And I don't know if you're mountaineering or climbing or whatever. Going down is just not easy.
No.
I mean, gravity works, and it wants to work faster than you want it to.
I mean, and injuries can go either way. Broken leg, yeah, he can probably handle 3 weeks if he's bleeding out. Three weeks is a little long.
Yeah, if it's a blood issue, he's been gone for a while. But a broken limb, if he shelters up, he can make it for a while. I don't know what kind of supplies he had with him or what, but an experienced guy, 2 weeks overdue, something's wrong.
And that's my thought.
Is it just two now?
I mean, I'm sitting here going, we got another, what was that, 128 hours on our hands here?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm envisioning, because somebody, if his skill level matches up to what his wife is saying it is, It's a major injury that's got this guy, because I can't see anything else really getting him.
See, and I knew folks that went on a Gannett Peak excursion, right? And they came across a dude's leg stuck between two rocks. They ended up finding the guy eventually, and he did survive. But he had the wherewithal. That rock crossed his leg. He tourniqueted it, and he cut it off, and he hopped down further the trail.
That's crazy.
That's absolutely bananas what a human can actually endure and go through.
Right.
But there's so much technology these days that an experienced guy, especially going solo.
Right. Where's your spot tracker?
Where's your spot tracker? I'm a fan of the damn thing. For $7 a month or whatever it is, it's a ridiculous subscription. And you can turn it on. It'll leave breadcrumbs. People in your list can watch your track, right? And if you do have a problem, you can hit the button, and a plane or a helicopter is coming for you. Now, it's going to be expensive. You're buying the insurance, so it's less expensive. But you're going to go home, right?
Right.
It's a really simple piece of gear, and it's no bigger than a wallet.
Well, yep. Besides the gear, I'd never take a path like that without my hiking buddy.
Going solos, that's dangerous.
It is. And I
understand the piece of it, though.
I do. I mean, I've done it. I scale it back, though, if I'm by myself.
Well, in this story here that I pulled up, it says the snow is starting to fall at above 10,000 feet at the Cloud Peak Wilderness now.
Yep.
So exposure is going to become a thing.
It will be. And now he was reported missing to the Bighorn County Sheriff's Office on August 1st. And search efforts have grown and expanded. I know we have National Guard up there. I think there's a couple other states that are helping out. So
U.S. Forest Service, search and rescue. They do have helicopters, planes, dogs, and horse teams out.
Well, if he checked in from the top, you start there and you spiral out.
Yeah.
But they said it's really treacherous, though. So the volunteers, some of the volunteers, they're not letting him go all the way to the top. They're having to man the bottom because they don't want to be searching for more than one.
Well, yeah. Cloud Peak is no joke. And that wilderness is massive.
Well, the fact that he got to the top gives me hope because he's got some skills.
Mm-hmm. You got to.
But we're getting to be... What, it's the 12th now? 11th?
Today's the 12th.
Yeah,
so
he's putting on some days of being overdue, and that's never good.
Yeah, so, you know, his last check-in was on the 29th, so that's, you know, what, 15 days?
Yeah.
That nobody's heard from him?
20 days, it's usually called a recovery.
Usually.
That's just too long. Something happened to him. One, don't go alone. I get that it's a solo trip and there's a romance there, but don't go.
Well, did he just prep for the 3-day hike or did he prep just in case's?
An experienced guy that's going to do a trip like that, he always has an in case's or two.
Yeah. You should.
Yeah.
You know.
Because even us camping in a full camper with everything your little heart desires.
Oh, I know.
We go for 3 days, I pack for 12.
Just in cases.
Yeah.
Just in cases.
But he's probably, if he's mobile, on a pack, he's not carrying that much with him.
No. My guess is he's probably running 35, 40-pound pack.
That's 3 days.
But, yeah, I mean, that's 3 days. Now, to be fair, I mean, I've got a 7-day pack that's about 40 pounds, and that's with water.
And your micro-dehydrated food.
Well, this story say that their check-in trailer that's normally on this hiking trail is not posted there at this time, and there is a sign that says any hikers that come in here do so at their own risk.
Yep, and that's the way most of them are. Now, I saw a real genius thing, and it just kind of clicked at me because I hadn't done it in so long, but we were tooling around up in the mountains our side-by-side one time, and we hit one of the wilderness trailheads. And there was a car parked there, and in the window, in the windshield, he had it taped on the inside of his windshield. It was his name, the dates he was supposed to be, and it had a map with the route that he was taking.
That's smart.
Genius.
That's absolutely smart.
You know, because I was kind of reading through it. I mean, he was going to be out there for like 10 days. So, you know, if you're going to do things like that, something like that is smart to do, especially if you're alone.
Where did this guy jump off from? Where was his car parked?
I don't know, and the story does not say. But there's only three or four trailheads that go up in there.
Yeah. Well, find his car, point
start
it right towards
there.
The top, and that's your search area. If he got disoriented and went off track when he came down, it could expand. But 2 weeks, man, something happened to him.
Right. You got to assume that, you know, they're up there searching with thermal but depending on where he's at, you know,
if he made it down in a tree line.
Yeah, there's some dense stuff.
You
thermal.
You were saying earlier that foliage will defeat thermal.
So. Oh, yeah. And some of that wilderness up there, some of those trees are dense. You'd never pick up a thermal signature on the ground from the air.
That's a problem. That's a big one because you don't get to cover as much ground on foot.
No. No, not at all. I mean, even horseback and dogs, you know, how old is that scent that the dogs are tracking?
If they found his car, it's at least within 2 weeks, right?
Right. So, I mean, that's something to consider.
Wow. All right. Well, I sent a couple prayers out to him and his family, but I hope they follow this story up.
I do too, and I really do hope that we have a happy ending. And if we do, this is definitely a guy that we got to get on the podcast.
Well, he'll have a story to tell.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like,
so
totally take a buddy.
Always take a buddy.
Always take a buddy, even if it's your dog. Something.
Yeah, well, you don't have a lassie.
I don't.
There's a lot of guys that like the solitude of doing it themselves. And while I can't say I would disagree, it's just not safe for a trip like this.
No, not something like this.
You can do that. What's the hiking trail that they were doing across where we usually camp, where it's
Continental
it's
like, Divide.
It's a 3-month hiking trail.
Yeah, it's the Continental Divide trail.
There's people doing that. Now there's check stations, yada, yada. But everyone we saw that was doing that had a buddy.
Uh-huh.
Oh, we saw a few loners.
Yeah, they probably had a buddy
ahead of them or behind them.
Yeah. But and the other thing about it, too, is that trail is not that terrain.
No.
I mean, it.
It's a trail.
It gets high altitude, but it's. You're
it's not real rugged.
There's a couple of spots, but nothing like that.
And they have checkpoints.
They do.
In several locations, and you've signed up for this thing. So.
Yeah, because, there's places along the trail where you can, pick up mail.
Oh, geez. Yeah, it's not that bad.
Yeah, they're able to replenish. Your family can send you care packages, and it's at the drop site.
So who is it, the Forest Service that manages that care package stuff?
No. There's businesses that are kind of like little waypoints along the way. I know.
I think Sweetwater was one.
Sweetwater's one, and Big Sandy Lodge.
I hadn't heard about this. Uh-huh. They're offering services to replenish in the backcountry.
We're trying to convince Big Sandy that it'd be a good idea, but they are a mail drop.
Interesting. All right. That's a huge benefit if you're going to go out into the backcountry.
Oh, absolutely.
You don't have to come all the way home to get replenished.
We were all talking that weekend, though, is who gets 3 months off of work to do this?
Trust fund babies.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how the Knolls completely exists.
Well, that and public funds. don't get me started on that.
Yeah.
But, no, you're exactly right. And I remember back in the day, and this is 20 years ago, I'm dating myself here, but we used to spend a lot of time in the backcountry because we climbed most of the big peaks in Wyoming, most of the ones in Colorado, and I don't know how many times that we had to rescue Knollsies.
Well, you went with a buddy, you went with a plan, and you weren't gone that long.
Yeah, well, let me tell you about our plans. This is back in the day when we were, poor dirtbag climbers, and we improvised so much crap. I mean, we went to the MacGyver School of Engineering for a lot of our stuff, but we had experience, and we were out there doing it all the time.
How much time did you get off to go do it, though?
I had a job that allowed me, I had 3 days a week off, consecutive. So, and my buddy was the same way. Like, we, for whatever reason, the heavens shined on us, and we got the same 3 days off a week for an entire summer.
So let's say the planets aligned. You could have 6 days in a row, max.
Yep.
So you had a 4-day trip.
Yep.
Okay. You went with the plan.
Yeah. Usually the plan was, let's go and try and climb this. And then once we'd get there, we'd get everything be great, and we'd get halfway through, and then we'd get, off route or something would happen, a boulder come out on us. Things happen, right? And, it's by the grace of God that we survived a lot of it, but...
That's the backcountry.
It is.
And in a large part, you're on your own, but you do have your buddy.
You do have your buddy, And that was huge. That's one of those people in my life that it's like we will be friends until we die, because we went through some things. And the only thing I can equate it to is, guys that you make friends with in combat, because we saved each other's lives multiple times. At this point, I can't even count. He saved me from being crushed by a boulder the size of a refrigerator.
There's a trust that's developed, yeah. And it's not really spoke about. You don't sit around the campfire and go kumbaya and all that.
But no.
It is developed over hard experience.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
There was things that we did that just kind of defied logic, but it worked.
I don't know. Just back to the being prepared side of things. The planning side of it's critical. There's enough gear these days where this shouldn't happen.
No, and you don't have to like you don't have to go buy out the outdoor sports store, right? I set up a pack, you know, I went over this with a class I had a week or so ago because they wanted to talk about bug out bags because it was a family that I did the class for. We were doing, you know, defensive pistol, defensive rifle, but most of this family lives in Denver, and the host, you know, rural property in Nebraska, farm property. And, you know, their plan is if something happens in Denver, they're all going for her house, which is a smart plan. But
the bug out bags are a little different for her versus the urban world, though.
Well, absolutely. I've got a go bag, which is immediately I've got to do this right now. This is protect me and my family.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got a bug out bag.
Right.
Which is 3 days worth of stuff.
Well, and you have to remember with that go bag, and this is, I think this was kind of a hard pill to swallow for them, as I was like, you know, when you plan your bug out bag, like things went down in Denver and you were leaving to go to Nebraska, you're never coming back. Or even if you do, whatever you left is not going to be there.
It's not yours anymore.
I'm not going camping for a few days until things cool off. It's, I'm evacuating, assuming I'm never coming home.
Mm-hmm. And I have enough resources and wherewithal to be able to acquire stuff on the road.
Oh, I do too. But
there are some hard things that are mine that I want.
Mm-hmm.
But my bag doesn't get any bigger than that.
No.
Because moving is the key.
Right. Right. Mobility. I've said that for years. Like, mobility is safety. If you're weighed down with a ton of gear because you think you need it all you are is a really slow moving loot drop.
You're somebody else's cache of gear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think I kind of threw them because I used to have the go bag, right? And I had the bug out bag and I had all those things. And now I've kind of come around because, you know, we specifically bought our property to be our bug out location. So we're bugging in. So my bag is more of a get home.
Absolutely.
It's
about your priorities and what you need to get done.
Right.
My go bag is truly very minimal. It's a self-defense bag for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
It's my kit. And my bug out bag, it's a decision. I've still got a level of self-defense stuff in it, but it's stuff I need to get down the road with. It's a survival bag. They're different mindsets.
Right. Well, the one I carry every day, and I built it to go with me everywhere. From I'm going to go fishing for the day up in the mountains to I'm going to take it to a meeting in a boardroom. Like, it's that bag. It's got things that I need to survive for a night or two out in the wilderness. It's got things that I need to navigate and get myself home from a major metropolitan area. That's what that bag is. My secondary bag is for if things go sideways and we do end up bugging in. And now my priority is reconnaissance, surveillance, keep an eye on what's going on, because intelligence gathering is what's going to keep us alive.
Agreed.
So that's what that bag's set up for. But it is. It's priorities. And that was one of the things that I tried to explain to this group was, it's hard to tell somebody you need XYZ in your bag, because your bug out bag, because your plan, because your lifestyle, because of your, you know, individuality and subjectiveness, it's one of the most intimate things you'll ever build.
Oh, hands down. And it's hard choices too.
It is.
Because there's convenience and then there's must have.
Right. Well, I always tell people, like, what's your mission? And if they tell me, well, we have X family's property that we're going to get to, we're going to go to this cabin or this farm or whatever. Okay. As much as you can, pre-position stuff.
Agreed.
So that if you do have to leave, especially if you start to see where, ooh, things may break down at some point, get as much as you can there as possible, so that what you got to grab and go with is quick and easy and is just what you need to get there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Smart choice.
But
you got to know what you're doing.
You do. And that's the skill. You know, and that's another thing that I've said is, you know, skills will beat stuff every day.
Agreed.
There, if you have the skill, if you have the mindset, if you have the knowledge, you can get by without a lot of stuff.
Yep, that's probably fair.
So, you know, what do you know, paperclip and a Swiss Army knife.
I can do a lot of things. Like that.
And you know what? Skills are lighter.
They're way lighter. I mean, I was practicing the other day. one of those things that you don't think about until you need to, but I was practicing picking locks the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And I will tell you this. One thing I have learned since I started learning how to pick locks is that locks are just for honest people, because I went out to my garage and I picked a deadbolt in about 5 seconds.
Most of them aren't complex.
No. No, it's tumbler and like five pins.
But that sheer deterrent of, well, that's not easy, keeps the dishonest folks, most of them, at bay.
Yeah, most of them. I mean,
but if they want in, they're coming in.
Well, our front and back door glass.
Like I said, they're in.
They're coming in. Like, that's not going to stop much. But I, you know, it was just one of those things. It was like, huh, I want to try this new lock pick set. Oh, crap, that was easy.
Yeah, and the way my house is constructed, I can't defend it. I can make a mountain of bodies in each of the doorways, but I cannot defend that house. Not long term.
Well,
no,
and your location kind of sucks.
Yeah. So I'm not staying there.
No. Which sucks. I mean, it and that's the thing that you got to come to terms with. It sucks to have to leave your home. Nobody wants to do that. That's my home, right? But when you live,
when you choose to live on the golf course, you are where everyone loots first, because that's right. Where all you snobby people live.
Yeah, but who do you think the cops are going to protect? I mean, you saw that. I've seen this. I've seen this in several instances. Right, wildfires. What was it last year? A fire started on the other side of the river from you.
Yep,
that was out in an hour.
We had airplanes jumping stuff.
Yeah.
It was real quick.
Because it was threatening the golf course community.
That's right.
I mean, say what you will. And fire departments will always say, oh, we don't prioritize, you know, fancy houses. yeah, right. I was having a conversation with a friend of ours that lives on another mountain that had a fire start across a valley. And he wasn't really worried at all because there were multi-million dollar homes between him and the fire.
Right.
And it didn't make
fire breaks out by all nations here north of town.
Nothing's going to happen.
They might take a minute.
They'll send a truck.
Yeah, they'll have a couple of trucks there. But, yeah, they're not going to have planes immediately.
Right.
So.
as long as social services are still up and going, I've got a pretty secure location.
You do.
But when that social service breaks down and nobody's coming, I'm out.
Well, and that's just it. And that's the way I look at it. Our law enforcement here, while good, is thin.
Well, it's a big county.
It's a massive county. It's second largest in the state. We're 9,900 square miles. That's a lot for what do we have right now? Like 7 deputies?
Yeah, about that. And there's a lot of space between people.
Yeah.
So they can't justify putting on more deputies.
No. No, and that's just it, you know, and you know, and we've had this conversation with them. Like our sheriff's department, we were talking with a deputy and just asked, you know, what kind of response time are we looking at? And they're telling us 35 to 40 minutes if they're in the area, but they may be clear up on South Pass, which is an hour and a half away.
They're going to respond immediately, but they're not going
to
get here.
They're not going to get here, you know, they're going to get here to put bodies in bags.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's it.
That's really, dude, what they're for anyway.
If someone comes out here to rough up my shit, no one else knows they're here. I'm just saying.
And you have a backhoe.
That's right.
You know, you'll have the fence post put in and the fence built and flowers growing by the time you get a response.
Mm-hmm. And I'll make an ally up for you. It's fine.
I don't know. Life 360 may betray you on that.
Wow, I'll throw my phone.
I don't know. Maybe we have a little bit more laissez-faire attitude about this because of where we live, because we know the sheriffs, because we know the police, and they know who we are. And they've kind of given us, like, you do what you got to do.
We have taken the time to make the relationships and educate ourselves on how it really works.
Mm-hmm.
Most folks in the city count on it as if it's a given.
Right.
And that's not a good plan.
No. And just, yeah, and just remember, the law enforcement is not obligated to protect you. We've proven that over and over. So, yeah. I guess, we're like way over time. So, until next week, be prepared.
Blame GPS.
Well, you can blame GPS. I was going to blame the Democrats for running away.
I can go with that, too.
We'll see you next week.